Hello, I'm Eric Gould with your KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, April 1st. Montrose County Media Relations Manager Katie Jurgensen reports that as of March 31st, 14 positive cases of COVID-19 have been detected in Montrose County. Two of those patients are hospitalized, while the rest are self-quarantined. To date, 286 tests have been administered in Montrose County. Yesterday, Public Health began to get tests back from the National Guard testing that was conducted last week. Montrose County Public Health has a test site available for individuals who meet criteria to be tested. In order to be tested, please call your primary care provider first and describe your symptoms. Meanwhile, according to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, Mesa County is up to 16 positive cases of COVID-19, according to the Public Health Department. The majority of those cases, 7, continue to be for residents in their 60s. The next highest group, with 4 positive cases, are residents in their 50s. And in Delta County, the Denver Post is still reporting only 1 confirmed case of COVID-19. Statewide, the number of people infected with COVID-19 is approaching 3,000. Nearly 17,000 people now have been tested. The state is working on mass testing, but has not yet achieved that capacity. Moving on, the Environmental Protection Agency will not be enforcing many regulations on oil refineries and coal plants during the COVID-19 pandemic. From the Mountain West News Bureau, Nate Hedgie reports.
Some of the nation's top polluters are now running on the honor system. The Environmental Protection Agency expects them not to break any laws, but it also isn't requiring them to send in compliance and monitoring data. This data essentially tells us whether or not oil refineries or coal plants are pumping out too much pollution. John Walk is with the Environmental Protection Group, Natural Resources Defense Council.
Our concern is that by granting amnesty from compliance monitoring and reporting nationwide, that you're giving license to unlawful and excessive pollution limits without regulators or the public knowing about them.
The EPA's move comes a little more than a week after an oil industry group wrote a letter to the agency. It requested that the agency waive routine reporting and testing requirements during the pandemic because it says plants and refineries may not have the staffing available to complete checklists. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Nate Hedgie.
And here's a feature story from the Mountain West News Bureau. Amidst a global pandemic and a presidential election, there's another big issue that will affect Americans for years to come, the 2020 census. Today, April 1st, is Census Day. Reporter Nate Hedgie takes a look at how this census will be different.
You probably got a letter in the mail recently from the Census Bureau asking you to fill out their survey. And maybe you're thinking, I don't have time for this. I just lost my job. The coronavirus is spreading across the country. But filling out that survey to help the U.S. Census Bureau get a full and accurate count of America is really important because...
It's how we distribute our public funding.
That's Evan Curtis with the Utah Governor's Office. He helps out with census outreach efforts. And he says federal and state agencies figure out how much money to give an area based on how many people there are.
So these are big programs like Medicaid, CHIP, Title I school funding, transportation funding, things that impact a lot of people.
The census will also inform political representation, how many lawmakers a place gets to send to state capitals and D.C. and the new districts they come from.
And with the West growing and changing so rapidly, it's going to be really important to get these accurate counts and make sure that everyone is represented fairly.
But there's a big catch this year. COVID-19 is throwing the census off its game. Curtis says college students have left campuses early, which could decrease the population count in some towns, and some rural Americans aren't getting their census invitations delivered because of delays. I'm Nate Hedgie in Salt Lake City.
And I'm Noah Glick in Reno, Nevada. Even with no delays, some residents here might not respond to the census anyway. Latinos. Nevada's Latino community accounts for at least 29% of the population, but historically, that community doesn't trust the federal government. This distrust was exacerbated when the Trump administration proposed adding a citizenship question to this year's census. Michael Moreno works with the census in the state and does outreach within the Latino community.
There are so many undocumented individuals that live in our communities. They would have hesitated and perhaps not even participated in taking the census.
The administration's proposal to add the citizenship question failed, but many Latinos are still apprehensive. Moreno wants to reassure people that the process will be safe, secure, and confidential.
That information will not be shared by U.S. Census Bureau employees or government employees with any state, federal, or local agencies, law enforcement, IRS, immigration.
He says there are stiff penalties for census workers if they do share this confidential information.
Those penalties are $250,000 fine and 5 years imprisonment.
Still, there's a concern that many in the Latino community still won't participate, and that will ultimately lead to official counts being lower than reality. I'm Noah Glick in Reno.
And I'm Savannah Marr on the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming. There's another group less likely to take part. In the last census, Native people living on reservations were undercounted by nearly 5%. Michael Yellowplume is heading up census outreach efforts for the Northern Arapaho tribe. At an educational event in early March, he explained to tribal members how an undercount could hurt them.
A lot of families depend on TANF.
That's temporary assistance for needy families. The Indian Health Service is also crucial.
The government funds all that, so if we're low on numbers, then we're going to be low on the funding that you need for the people.
Still, there's a big issue this year that could make response rates even lower. For the first time, the census is being conducted primarily online.
Yeah, I believe that's the biggest obstacle that we run into is people don't have access to the internet.
On the Wind River Reservation, only a third of households have internet access. There was a plan to set up internet hotspots around the reservation, but that's been put on hold by the COVID-19 pandemic. There will be all sorts of consequences from a low count. Take housing. Yellowplume says census numbers inform federal funding for housing, which is a persistent problem on the reservation. Charles Washakie agrees. Washakie directs the housing program for the Eastern Shoshone tribe, who share Wind River with the Northern Arapaho.
Oh yeah, we have like 2-3 families in homes and stuff. We know, you know, which families are have multiple families in them, the units and stuff.
But here's the problem. He says many families won't disclose those numbers on the census for fear of losing their housing.
If we're overcrowded in most of our units, it helps us with getting funding. People don't understand that.
He says his office is chronically underfunded. They haven't built a new unit in over 20 years, but he hopes an accurate count could change that. Just another example of how the 2020 census could be transformative here, for better or for worse. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Savannah Marr.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, April 1st. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.